Hey there, welcome to Intentional Living Center today. I'm Dr. Randy Carlson, and today, as we open the doors and invite you to come in, if you're a parent or a grandparent, you may be single, you may be married, you may have teens, you may have little ones, you may have grown children. We're going to talk about, I think, the singular most important responsibility we have as a parent. It's to raise our children to become, or at least have the opportunity to become, godly young adults. We only get one shot at this. How do we do this? What is one thing that you do in your family that you think makes a difference in setting that platform for your kids to grow in Christ? Are you ready? This is Intentional Living.
From the Intentional Living Center in Tucson, Arizona, welcome to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Our lines are open, 1-888-888-1717. Again, that's 1-888-888-1717. Now, to help you be intentional for your kids, here's Randy.
All right, thank you much, Kurt. You know, if you miss this one, you miss it all, I think. You get in the later years, and some of you, God bless you, you're looking back with regret, and we just say, hey, you know, stop it, because that ain't going to help you. Let's get forward motion. Let's look at what we can do, even if you're children are now young adults or adults and raising your grandkids, and you look back and say, I blew it as a parent. The good news is you still got today. This is the first day of the rest of your life. And so let's move forward. But if you're a parent, you got teenagers in your home, you got young adults maybe, or little ones still, I can't think of anything else more important. I just did some promo spots promoting a Parents Night Out event that we're doing in several of our listening areas. I'm going to be speaking along this line, actually, in raising our kids and coming up here in October. And here's how I opened the spot. I said, I know that your goal is to raise your children to become godly young adults. It will be your greatest reward and your greatest challenge. And I think that's true. And today, I mean, God love us, if you're a parent today in this culture in which we're living with all of the confusion and with all of the media and with all of the influences in your child's life, You've got to crank it up. I mean, now more than ever, if you are not intentional, I'm telling you, the streets of your town are intentional for your kids. The internet is intentional for your kids. There are people who are spending their entire day figuring out how to reach your kids with stuff that you don't want them reached with. And if you and I really want to do a good job in raising our family, and of course, we're not the Holy Spirit, God's got to move in our children's lives. We understand that. But we want to look back and say, hey, we gave them every opportunity. We prayed for them and gave them an opportunity to know God. We don't want to look back with regrets. And so this is a big deal. No matter what stage you are in the process, I would ask you to join me with answering the question, what is one thing that you're doing, or maybe one thing that your parents did that you want to communicate with us, to help raise you, or in this case, your kids, to know God? What is it? Now, all right, listeners, this is an opportunity to light up every phone line to tell us one thing that you're doing or that was done in your life that made a difference. 888-888-1717, live from Tucson's Intentional Living Center. Line's open for you.
I am a foster mom, and I would have to say that happiness to me is seeing these young children progress. After being through so much hardship and heartache and rejecting love, to see them accept it, it makes me think of myself as I was going through hardships and heartache and rejecting God's love for so long, and to see them just embrace it and heal, that to me is true happiness. It's just mind-blowing, and I thank God for that.
The thing that makes me the happiest is to know my children love God. And the thing that breaks my heart the most is to watch them suffer when they don't love Him and follow His will.
The thing that brings me the most happiness is watching all the things that I prayed for over my daughters when they were young coming to fulfillment through their actions and their deeds and their service to the Lord. God bless you and thank you all for what you do.
You're very welcome. The little things. I think it's what we're going to hear today. It's doing the consistent little things of building into the lives of our children. 888-888-1717. Let's go to Jennifer's our first caller here from New Mexico today. Hi, Jennifer.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm well. How are you today?
Good. So you're a mom, right?
I am. I am a mother of two daughters.
And what ages are they?
I have Anna, who is 7 and a half, and Sarah, who just turned 1.
Ah, congratulations.
What's
the passion of your life as a mom?
Taking care of my family, serving my family, and serving God, and, you know, through them. It's the best part of my life. Every day I wake up, and it's the first thought that enters my mind is, thank you for this day.
How do you keep God at the center with your kids?
Well, today, for example, you know, we talk about God a lot. You know, it's a part of our day. It's a part of the conversations when difficult situations arise. It's, you know, well, what can we do? How can we pray about that?
Mm-hmm. And so what kind of things do you pray about? Have you prayed with your kids about recently?
Well, this morning, in fact, I was driving both the girls and dropping Anna off at school, and she shared with me that she was nervous. And I said, well, what could you do about that? And she said, well, I can talk to my teacher. And I said, that's a great idea. I said, but you know what else? You can pray. You can pray about it. And I said, and you know what else? And she kind of perked up, and I said, I'm going to be praying for you today.
Yeah.
And she just broke out with this big smile, and I said, because I love you, and I care about you. And she got out of the car, and she just kind of skipped away, and I thought, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because it could have gone a totally different way, and that was the Holy Spirit leading me as a mother to share that with her, because of course I pray for my family, you know, daily, and many times throughout the day. For their protection and for their guidance and in difficult situations that, you know, the Holy Spirit will guide her and guide my husband and I in raising these two beautiful gifts. So it was just an awesome moment for me as a mother to remind them that we are, you know, praying for them specifically for so many things. But, you know, it never crossed my mind to share it with her. Specifically, and it was just an awesome gift this morning that I was able to do that.
That's fantastic. Well, you stay at it. Life's tough. Raising kids today is difficult, and God bless you in the process there, Jennifer.
Well, thank you.
I appreciate your call. Today we are focusing on how to raise godly children. Now, obviously, there's no second generation. I mean, it's not like DNA. If you're a believer, your children are automatically believers. But they have to make a decision. But certainly you want to be in a place where you are presenting an environment in your own home, in your own life, in the way you interact. And when praying with your children, letting them see Scripture, let them know what the Bible teaches. Kids are so distracted today with so many things. And it's a decision you make. And we talk about living intentionally. And it's interesting. I don't know if you've noticed, but you know, we started intentional living a number of years ago. And I keep hearing more and more people referencing intentionality, because I think what's happening is the culture is starting to close in on us more and more and more. And what we used to talk about years ago as some future reality, now we're seeing it as we're being put more and more into a marginalized box as believers. You get one shot at this thing of raising your kids. You get one shot at this thing. And I don't say that to heap guilt, but just to point out the fact that while we're not perfect people, we've got one shot at being intentional. And there's nothing more important than knowing God's intentional love and then sharing that intentional love to our kids, to the next generation. As my mother used to say, children are the future that we will not see. I think it's a good reminder. 888-888-1717 with the question, one thing you're doing to help raise a godly child.
I was calling regarding what I do intentionally in raising my children, and one thing I do often is intentionally talk about the crossroads that you're going to have in life, not only in the decisions that you make, but the consequences to your decisions.
One thing that I do is I talk to my daughter, and when she does something that she's not supposed to do, rather than yell at her, I bring her to me and I ask her about making good choices.
And one thing that we do as an intentional parenting towards our kids that is working is taking them to church, following up with them, and to show them not only that we love God, but show them an example that we trust God.
There you go. These are really practical things being shared. Listen, equipping to live intentionally comes down to doing the next right one thing. Let's find out what Katie's doing. in Missouri. Hi, Katie.
Hi.
How are you today?
Doing good. How are you?
Good. What are you doing intentionally in raising the next generation?
Well, we are just making sure that we pray with our kids and take them to corporate prayer meetings at church and stuff so that they can, you know, see other people praying and see other kids praying. And I feel like that does two things. It just connects them with how the Lord feels
yeah.
about what's going on in the earth and connects their hearts with the people that are suffering and with, you know, whatever world events are going on in the right way, in a biblical way, instead of just the way that the culture tells them to.
Boy, you don't see that much any longer. How many churches still have prayer meetings? There used to be prayer meetings were kind of a regular thing in churches, and like Sunday evening services used to be. And nowadays, that's kind of rare. So your church has corporate prayer meetings?
Yeah, I actually, we're on staff with a place called the International House of Prayer in Kansas City, and we have 24/7 prayer meetings.
Fantastic.
So we're, my husband and I, you know, we're trying to connect with other local churches and raise those things up because we feel like it's very important.
Yeah, it just isn't happening as much as it used to. Do you do research on how much is corporate prayer around churches today? Is that just my sense that it's less, or is it true that there's less of it?
No, it's definitely less. And we talk to pastors all the time, you know, that have said that they've tried to do corporate prayer meetings and, you know, it just fizzles out. People are too busy or whatever. But, I feel like there's being a resurgence. The Lord's really raising it up again, raising up a praying church again. And, you know, we're seeing it happening more again. So it's really encouraging.
That's good.
Yeah.
Well, appreciate what you're doing there, Katie. And I tell you, you're building into your children something they will never forget. These are childhood memories being built into their lives. It's very powerful stuff. Thank you, Katie.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Appreciate it. That's great. Let me see here. Line three. Jacob is in Michigan. Jacob, welcome to the program.
Hello. Thank you.
Go
How
right
are
ahead.
You today?
Good. Thank you.
I grew up on the streets in Adrian, in Maui County, in Michigan, and growing up on the streets has taught me a lot about the Lord and a lot about the Lord's grace. And I'm now using what I've learned to teach my baby sisters, Alexis and Ava, about the Lord, and my older siblings, too. I had a question for you.
Yeah.
Do you have any advice for me on how I can more reach my baby sisters and my older siblings? Because as of right now, I'm the only one that follows Christ, but I wish to see all of my siblings in heaven with me.
And you're in your 20s.
I'm 22.
22. And how long have you been living on the streets?
I've been living on the streets since I was about 8.
Wow. And so you have relationship with your family?
Somewhat. I kind of keep my distance from them because, like I said, they aren't Christians, and I am, but I would like to reach them, and I'm slowly reaching one of them one by one. When I was 14 years old, I led my father to the Lord, and now he goes to church every Sunday, and he listens to Family Life Radio, and he watches Dr. David James Jeremiah, as do I, and now I'm just slowly picking off one family member at a time to bring them to the Lord, just to show them the glory that I have received.
You don't need any instruction from me. You figured this out, man. Now listen, now Jacob, you're 22 years old. Are you working? Are you have an apartment? Or you know, what's your life about today?
I live on my own in Brooklyn, Michigan, and I attend Abundant Life Assembly of God in Brooklyn, Michigan, four times a week, and I am currently looking for a job. Oh. And I just do mostly just, I just ride my bike around town just sharing Jesus.
Well, good for you. Listen, so many of us were so busy passing by at high speed in our cars, we don't have that opportunity and we don't take the opportunity. Hey, Jacob, you know, your question is, how do you reach them? You did it. You said, pick them off one at a time. You know, I think it's this one-to-one relationship. It's all about relationship. You know, take one of your sisters out, you know, and spend some time together, spend a day. Talk about their life. Talk about your life. Talk about what God's doing in your life, what you've learned, what's happening. You know, this relationship, When you look at Scripture, look at Christ and his impact in people's lives. He didn't just stand on a pulpit and preached. Of course, he did teach, but even then he would use illustrations and parables and different ways of communicating a truth, but it was relationship. He took those 12 disciples and he spent time with them building relationship and building into their lives. And I think in your case, that gives you an opportunity to build into the lives of your family as you're able to do so. And then also at church, you can invest, you know, get your siblings involved in church, spending some time with them. But listen, you're on the front end of a whole rest of your life, my friend. And as you work through the stuff from the past, that obviously there's a whole story there, to be able to get spiritually grounded, get some good men around you that'll build you up. I mean, your future could be fantastic as you just continue to trust him. So stay on the bike, stay in the word, stay focused, and be intentional. Think of all the things in our culture today that are being questioned. And like Satan, did God indeed say that marriage is between a man and a woman? That's being questioned within the church. Did God indeed say that? Does God indeed say that his intention is that when we marry for life? I know it doesn't always happen, but isn't that God's intention? Did God indeed say that?
Yeah.
Yes, he did indeed say that. And in fact, that is an excerpt from my teaching this month on the topic of the power of a question. I was thinking about questions and how when you think about it, it's when people ask you profound questions, and even not so profound, just timely questions, they get you thinking. And then so I did a little research and found that over 3,000 questions are in the Bible, 3,000. And some of them are, well, all of them make you think. And some of them just outright can lay you flat out if you think about them. Here's an assignment for you. I teach this on the teaching. What's the first question in the Bible? I can tell you this. It's in the book of Genesis. First question, not in chapter 1, not in chapter 2. No questions in the first two chapters. Shows up in chapter 3. What is the first question? And who asked it? And what was the result of it? Well, I talk about that as well as giving you questions to think about in your life. It's the teaching this month for all the members of Intentional Living. Members are those who support the ministry every month. I mean, we're listener supported, and I thank you for standing with us. We live in a tough time, and I believe with great passion that living intentionally is the only way. I mean, what else is there? Living unintentionally? Living good intentioned? I mean, that ain't going to get you anywhere. You're going to go around in a circle like you're chasing your tail. And if you want to have a successful life in terms of God's intention for your life, to live intentionally. And that's why we really camp on this topic. Thank you for your support. If you're a monthly member, watch for the CD coming your way. If you're not, you can join today. It's very simple. Just go online to theintentionallife.com. Click on the donate button. You can sign up there, become a part of the team, and whatever monthly amount that you choose, you can do it on the auto giving plan, and we will start sending to you the monthly CDs to say thank you for your support. It's a way we can identify your real interest in growing intentionally. So thank you. Go to theintentionallife.com.
Our lines are still open. 1-888-888-1717. You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Andy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible entirely by the generous support of our listeners. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ. Coming up, Dr. Randy's got more to help you be intentional for your kids. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
You don't have to yell to get my attention.
I wasn't yelling!
Hi, I'm Dr. Randy Carlson, offering you a chance to stop and to breathe and to learn the secrets of intentional parenting. So join me for a much-needed Parents Night Out.
Intentional Living's Parents Night Out Conference. Visit theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Sometimes a 30-day challenge is something you come up with on your own. Maybe you need to clean out the garage, follow a budget, Speak fewer hurtful words and speak more encouraging words. Sometimes we can help. A study on prayer or getting closer to Christ, or maybe it's your first one thing, to place your faith in Christ. Whatever your one thing, we're here to help you succeed. Join today at theintentionallife.com/one thing. Randy.
All right. Thank you, Kurt. You know, I wrote an article a while back on, in fact, it was an excerpt from one of my teachings, and I laid out an acrostic on leadership. I took the letters in LEAD, L-E-A-D, and I thought of those, each of those letters, in terms of raising our children intentionally or our grandchildren intentionally. And for the letter L, I talked about the power of living what we preach. See, kids today see it. And I'll tell you, maybe in past generations, there could be an element of phoniness that kids culturally would just absorb. But today, that ain't the case. If it ain't real in your life, and you ain't living it, your kids see it. They see it online. They see it in the world. And we're not perfect. Our goal isn't to be perfect. That's why we need to tell our kids we're not a perfect parent. That's why apologizing and asking for forgiveness when we blow it, being real people, helps. I mean, it's a part of the process, just being real. But living what we preach. In a sense, children are catching our faith, not just hearing about our faith. And then for the letter E, encouragement, encouragement. You know, you intentionally lead your family through encouragement. You know, the little verse that says, a hope deferred makes the heart sick. And if your children have feelings of hopelessness, have feelings of loss, of lack of meaning, your kids need to be encouraged, and you're the greatest encourager in their life. I would love to talk to your kids 10 years from now when they call in and talk about who encouraged them most. Wouldn't be the school teacher or the Sunday school teacher or a friend or somebody other parent, but it'll be a mom. It was my mom. It was my dad. It was my grandparents. They were the ones that encouraged me the most. Intentionally lead your family through encouragement. I'll see if I can get to the other couple letters here in just a moment. Let me go to Chuck. He's on the phone from Arizona. Hi, Chuck.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. Good. What we're talking about raising our kids to be godly. What have you done in your home?
Well, we're a little older. We've got kids and grandkids now. But kind of looking back now, I think of the verse that says, don't grow weary in well-doing, for in due season that too has its reward. Mm. And he also gives the warning, don't be a fool, for whatever you sow, you reap. Yeah. So we chose 25 to homeschool our kids.
Oh.
And it was a sacrifice because the world says you need 2 incomes and you got to do this and you got to do that. But we chose together to do that. And it was hard. We're older, so back then we were under a lot of scrutiny and a lot of questions. But now we've lived long enough to see that fruit come forth. And so we feel between that investment, and like you said just a few minutes ago, it's huge. You got to live out.
Yeah,
what you're preaching. So we are involved in our church. We lived. You got to walk what you preach, so to speak, like you were just saying. You can't live one way at home and another way at church, but that's important. But the other thing was investing into our kids' lives. And so, I mean, I know there's no just one formula, but we feel it was a huge cog in the wheel, and it gave them the ability to survive a lot of the peer pressures and all the stuff that happens through the public system. And I know there's pros and cons, both sides. But our side of it was we see now both of our kids are doing well, one in law enforcement, one a professor at a college, and both have done well, not only in worldly standards, but in spiritual standards. They both love the Lord, walk with him, seek him. And now we're seeing it coming out in our grandkids, and they're making those choices together with their mates.
Right.
And deciding to do the same thing. And it encouraged those that do that, by the way, because back when we were younger, we were under a lot of scrutiny, and everybody said, oh, what about the social development? Hey, if you're involved in your church and you got things going on, they won't be socially deprived at all.
Well, and what you've done, Chuck, is I think what's important for young parents who are listening, you did a little bit, you did it consistently, and you did it over an extended period of time. And so I say to parents today, maybe you're in the middle of the teen years, you feel like you've blown it, start today. You've heard Chuck share some of the things they've done. You know, figure out what's the one or two, three things you're going to do, and it begins with being genuine, being real, being honest, being vulnerable, being a person. as you raise your kids. I think that's very powerful where it begins. Okay, got to run, Chuck. Thank you for your call, my friend.
All right, you have a good day.
All right, thank you. Thank you, appreciate it.
Hi, my name is Marie. I just thank you so much for your program. I'm calling wondering about the overwhelming feeling I get as a believer to raise my kids just right and the amount of information I have, like the books. Like I feel like my house is just filled with so many wonderful books, but having the knowledge doesn't always guarantee the wisdom, and I get overwhelmed with the amount of ways to do things right. My bookshelves are just filled with all these wonderful Christian how-to books to make our lives more fulfilling and better, and just getting overwhelmed with choosing which one to do. And thank you so much. Bye.
Wow. Didn't we all hear it in her voice? You could hear she was breathless. She was tired. I mean, you get overwhelmed. Ultimately, we start in God's Word. That's the key. Read what the Bible teaches. And like any book, you know, if it's coming from a good source and it's biblically based, take what really seems to apply. One thing, that's why we're so focused on doing the next right one thing, because you can get overwhelmed with 20 things and 50 things. I just did a teaching coming up for November on October, in fact, on parenting. And I said, here's a list of 10 things, but just pick one and work on it for the next 30. Make this your one thing for 30 days. That's the powerful thing. And I hope that'll help. You know, I know that your goal as a parent is to raise your children to become godly young adults. It's going to be your greatest reward. It's going to be your greatest challenge. And my passion is to help you discover how the secrets of intentional parenting will reduce stress, eliminate the need for yelling, increase confidence, get you on the same page, and make parenting your teen or your young adult fun again. You only get one shot at raising your children up through these teen years into adulthood. And at the upcoming Parents Night Out that you've heard about, I promise that you're going to laugh while you learn the specifics, the steps of how to build a great family for God and create positive, lifelong, loving relationships with your children. And we're going to be starting in Midland, Jackson, and Flint, Michigan, October 9, 10, and 11. And then Mesa and Phoenix, October 23 and 24. And then in Tucson, November the 6th. And I want you to come. I want to personally invite you to a Parents Night Out. It's a great date night for couples and a break night for singles. So get your tickets at theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com. We'll see you next time right here at the Intentional Living Center.